Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Volt here, and joining me today is Aaron Schaefer. So Aaron is a motivational speaker and a Christian author of a book called The Politically Homeless Christian, How to Conquer Political Idolatry, Reject Polarization, and Recommit to God's Greatest Two Commandments. He's also the sales director at SPS and has talked with over, and I think this is a conservative estimate, over 500 people on their journey to writing their book. Aaron is just an amazing leader. He has a servant's heart. He has, is always looking out for our students. Students rave about how amazing Aaron is and how he's been a big part of just them getting started on their journey to writing their book. So not only has he helped a lot of people on their journey and changed their life through helping them get started, but also, I mean, he's done this at a high level himself and with his book. And so we're going to be unpacking both of those things here today on this interview. Aaron, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited to do this.
Yeah. So first off, why write this book?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, people always say the two things you don't talk about is religion and politics, right? So I was like, how can I just, maybe I could write a book that could make as many people angry as possible in one fell swoop. And now, for me, you know, it's funny because I was, I've wanted to write a book for 20 years, ever since I was in college. And I had started and stopped several different books to the point where when I finally actually was publishing this book and I was sharing with a friend, hey, I've got a book coming out. They actually went through three different books. They're like, oh, is it the book about? And I was like, nope. They're like, oh, is it the? And I was like, no, it's not that one either. And they kind of started laughing. And so when I first started writing this, Chandler, I actually was in the process. I was about three chapters into writing a parenting book. And so that was going to be the first book I was going to write. And it was July of 2020. And I've had a blog for a while. And I've always kind of blogged about sort of cultural issues around Christianity. And I've always been kind of had a love-hate relationship with politics where I love to hate it, but I do love the policy piece. And I do love how do we conquer very real world challenges. And so something I'd blogged about in the past. And I had an interaction with one of my uncles where he had said to me, Aaron, I don't know how anyone could possibly be Christian and be Democrat. And it hit me at that moment. And because I'm not a Democrat for the record, I'm very independent. And it hit me because I said, oh my gosh, I heard the exact same thing just 2 weeks earlier, which was someone else that told me, Aaron, I don't know how in today's world someone could possibly be Christian and be Republican. And it made me realize, holy cow, from like a Christian faith perspective, how much we have allowed politics to become an idol in our society. How in a lot of cases, there's a huge percentage of our country, I think, that has politics and their own political party on both sides of the aisle. On the altar that, you know, that ultimately, if you're a Christian, as I am in this faith-based book, that really God is supposed to be on. And so at that point, I was like, man, I have seen politics tear apart families, tear apart churches, tear apart companies. And at that point, I was like, I need to write a book about this. And there's an election coming up. So let's go. Let's do it. I've had a million of these conversations with different people. And so I decided it was finally time to put it all into a book.
Awesome. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. And I want to pause here for a second, too, and just I forgot to mention this at the top of this interview. So this is going to be, I want this to be a go-to resource for a lot of people who are thinking about writing and publishing a faith-based book. And so we're going to be leaning heavily into that. If that's not your thing, this is probably the wrong episode. Find a different episode on the podcast. You'll love that. But if this is your thing, if you're thinking, hey, I want to write a book about my faith or about something that's close to my heart and that I want to believe in, we're going to really lean into that. And I think we're going to come to some things that'll be really helpful. First of which is being exactly what you just mentioned. So you talked about, hey, first book, religion, politics, all in one, let's do this. I want to speak to maybe the faith component of that. I know, for myself in books that I've written, none of which have been overtly faith-based. But I've kind of wrestled with, okay, how much of this do I put in there and how much of this do I not? And so how did you decide on writing about your faith? And so I guess maybe how did you decide on that? And then what did you find to be the toughest part about writing a book that's about your faith and core parts of what you believe?
Absolutely. Well, to speak to the first part, I think that what you wrestle with is what a lot of authors wrestle with is, do I include aspects of my faith in my books? And the thing I always said was the books that I've enjoyed are the ones where it is either I'm going there, like this is a faith-based book, or I'm not. And the books that have always been a tad awkward for me are the ones that try to straddle the line where it's, well, I want to write a book that doesn't turn off anybody, but I also want to include a little, it's like, I always tell any aspiring author, either write a faith-based book or don't write a faith-based book. But trying to straddle the line to please both audiences, you end up actually annoying both, because you either talk about your faith in a watered-down way, which makes the people that want a faith-based book frustrated, and simultaneously, the people that's not their thing, you turn them off as well. So for me, it started there of, do I want this to be a book that is aimed at the Christian audience? And for me, that was the biggest part that I had, the biggest sadness in my heart, the biggest thing I was hoping to help with, was specifically that, is like, how can we do politics better as an American church? Because I think right now we are just failing miserably at this. And again, on both sides of the aisle. And so for me, that decision was easy. I think the hard part, to answer your second question, once you decide to write a faith-based book, is I wanted it to be biblically based. I did not want it to be Aaron's perceptions and some verses plucked out of context that support my worldview. Like, I wanted it to be like, no, this is deeply biblically based. And that was challenging. So you're always questioning yourself, like, okay, all right, that verse definitely supports this chapter. Is there additional context before and after that verse that I really need to take into consideration? And so for me, I wanted to do a lot of deep reading and never pluck verses out of context. And so that was probably the hardest part, was the going deep into the text and making sure I was never misusing scripture.
And because have you ever given talks at churches or anything like that?
Yeah, yes, is a short answer, mostly in different group contexts. So we ran a young adult community for multiple years, that ministry. We worked with inner city groups multiple years. We were doing children's ministry for multiple years. My wife and I have done some form of ministry in a volunteer capacity for a decade. And so I've done tons of mini speak engagements to more like groups of 20 to 100, but not necessarily from the pulpit, so to speak.
That makes sense. And so I guess for anyone who has this listening to this, whether you're pastor, minister, et cetera, you've already probably written the book. You just didn't know it yet. And that book is in your most popular or your favorite sermon series, right? Yes. That 8-part series or 6-part series or whatever, that's the book. But I think also, if you've done that, you've wrestled with exactly what Aaron was just talking about, which is, how do I make sure that this is a biblically based message or sermon or whatever, and not just an inspirational talk that is my personal beliefs? Yes. And so you talked about kind of how you did that. Anything else that you did practically? Because I feel like that's an easy thing to say, that's my intention, but really hard when it comes down to like the actual meat of the book. So anything else that you found that helped you kind of navigate that?
Yeah, definitely. The first thing I did when I decided to write it, because it was, I love the way you phrased it, Chandler, that you've probably already written the book already, because I wrote the book pretty darn quickly. And part of the reason I was able to do that is these were conversations I had had over and over again. Some of these were blog posts that I'd had, and a couple of the chapters in my book were not verbatim blog posts, but it provided a lot of meat for that chapter. And for me, what I did is I started with a really robust mind map of, okay, I know exactly the main topics I'm going to have in my book. I've already got good Bible verses I want to have for each of these. I've got stories from my own life. I've got some anecdotes I want to share, some main teaching points within different chapters. And then what I did is, after I wrote my full outline of the book, so I knew all the chapters I was going to write, I knew the main topics within each chapter, is before I wrote a word, I went back and reread the entire New Testament. I just took 2 days and I said, I'm going to go really deep over a weekend. And then I did that. And then I also just looked up, Google's a beautiful thing, of I just looked up Bible verses about specific topics. And so I already had Bible verses I knew I wanted to talk about specific topics, but I want to say, what else does the Bible say about this topic? And then what I would do is, any of those verses that popped up in these giant lists of 40 verses about helping the poor, is I would then read the entire couple of chapters surrounding that verse. So I got the full context. So if it was something from Leviticus about serving the poor, I didn't want to just pluck a verse out. I wanted to say, like, what was actually going on here? And if I needed extra research beyond that, then I would just actually do some contextual research about what was happening at that time that was leading to this passage. So for me, it was first mind map, first outline, have the verses I know I want to include, read the full New Testament. So I'm just really putting my heart in a good spot and saying, what else has Jesus actually said on this topic? And then I did research on verses and tried to get those within context.
That's great. That's really, really helpful. And guys, if you want to learn more about the mind mapping concept specifically, check out chapter 5 of my new book published. Aaron, you, if I'm remembering correctly, I feel like you got the draft of this book done pretty quickly. And I want to say it was like also at the same time that, I mean, you had started your role at SBS. There was like a lot of work to be done there and a lot of work that you were doing. I mean, working 40, 50 plus hour weeks there and making significant progress on your book. So how long did it take you to get the draft? How'd you do it so quickly? And any lessons learned that might be helpful for people who say, hey, I've got a full workload but I really want to get this book done.
Yeah. I would say if you've done that work of getting organized first, you'll be amazed at how fast the writing goes, because I had a pretty well mapped out chapter by chapter. So I spent the first probably about a week or so thoroughly mapping out the book. So not only just here's the topic of my 10 chapters, but within each chapter, here are the Bible verses I'm including, here's the points I'm going to make, here's the stories from my own life I'm going to share. Like, I knew kind of what was going to happen within each chapter before I even wrote a word. And so I spent about a week doing that. And you'll find that if you spend a week getting organized, it's kind of fun and it goes pretty quick. And then what I did is just a chapter a day. And that sounds really fast to a lot of people, but I just woke up a little bit earlier, you know, woke up at 5 a.m. instead of 6 a.m. and said, all right, I'm just going to write until this chapter's done. And I was really intentional to not edit while I was writing, where it was, nope, I'm just going to write and I'm going to write exactly what I have on my heart about this. I've already done the research. I've already got the Bible verses. I've already got the stories. And generally writing that chapter would only take me anywhere from an hour and a half to 2.5 hours to write it once it was already organized. And so I would just sit down and I would just write from 5:30 a.m. until I finished. And it was amazing by having that I'm writing till it's done mindset. And, you know, some of my chapters were great and needed very little editing. Some of my chapters were crazy rough and needed a ton of editing. But I actually had the initial rough draft, which then I went back and added more Bible verses, added more stuff. But my initial rough draft was done in about 2 weeks. It was really quick.
Wow. 2 weeks. That's crazy. And that's awesome. And I love the tip to get foot. The better your outline, the faster the book, right? And the better the book as well. So I think that's a really great point. Switching gears to the title and kind of moving into marketing, I think you've got an amazing title that just hits, and it's the litmus test we always talk about is, does your prospect or reader instantly understand what the book's about and whether or not it's for them? And I think your title passes that test with flying colors. I'd be easy to look at that and say, oh yeah, you know, Aaron's in sales. He's a marketing guy. It's like he's got experience marketing. Like, of course, and this was probably easy. And this is an amazing title. I can't do that. I'm stuck on this title. I'm beating my head against the wall, trying to figure out how to communicate what I want to communicate. I've just seen behind the scenes of this. I know that it was a winding process, as with most titles, and then it hit. And so can you talk to people about how you came up with the title and any tips for people who might be in that messy middle? Struggling.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Title. Well, so my original title, if you look back to my original mind map that I had in the center of the sheet, was grace-filled politics. Because I was like, how can we do politics in a way that shows more grace to each other? How can we listen better? How can we have more intellectual curiosity? How can we not just assume the worst intentions of every person? So grace-filled politics was in the center. And I think that's okay. You know, I mean, it's a 7 out of 10. It's not a terrible title, but it definitely is not where it landed. And I had that feeling that I was like, okay, if I was scrolling Amazon and I saw grace-filled politics, would it hook me to the point where I stopped? Like, I might look and be like, oh, it's an interesting book, and then keep scrolling. But like, would I stop and say, holy cow, that's me and I need to click in? And the answer was probably not. And so it was interesting because it was, you know, I can plug another episode of the podcast. It was listening to, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but it was an entire episode about
Dane Maxwell. Yeah.
Yes. And I was listening to that episode. I was like, okay, this is good. And I just went in my basement and I just started talking about my book out loud to nobody. And I started saying, who is this book for? And I started talking about the person it's for. And eventually, after about 5-10 minutes of just talking out loud about my book, one of the phrases that came out of my mouth was, this is just a book for people that just, they don't feel like they fit in either party. Like they feel like, man, there's aspects I agree with each and aspects that I don't. And I don't feel like I fit in a neat box as a Christian. I just feel politically homeless. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is like the politically homeless Christian. I was like, that is the, and so there was this light bulb moment where I was like, that's who this is for. And I have had so many people reach out after seeing my book through my blog and say, I saw your title. And it immediately spoke to me of that's how I've been feeling for the last 10 years. Mm. And so it's like, that's fun when the people that you don't know that are reaching out to you and saying, then I read your book and it's just so confirming of so many things I've been feeling. It gave me good direction. But yeah, it was, for me, it was just time in the basement, 5-10 minutes, just talking out loud until there was a moment of inspiration.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think there's a couple keys there. We always talk about it's easier to sell pain pills than it is to sell vitamins. And so both, I think both are good titles. You're in a situation where I think you could have, both could have done well. Graceful Politics, Vitamin, Politically Homeless Christian. It's a pain pill, and it speaks to the pain that people feel. And anytime you can do that in a title, it resonates. And like you said, I'm going to stop and I'm going to click in to see that book. And I think it's also, what's interesting that I haven't thought about previously is, but I thought about as you were just saying, is it gives an identity, which anytime there's an identity and a name to something, it's like, oh, I'm a politically homeless Christian. Well, then it makes it easier, or I feel like a politically homeless Christian. It makes it easier for people to share that thing. Kind of like we talked about on the episode with Gary Chapman, 5 Love Languages, right? I'm reading this as a company right now. This is one thing that we talked about and I talk about and published is, if he would have just said, 5 ways to love your spouse better. Like it's less catchy, but there's a name or a phrase that now it's this label that people can repeat and that spread the message of the book. Absolutely. I think it's really cool what you did with your book.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right. So if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement.
Let's switch gears to marketing. And then I want to bring this home with what I think will be really helpful for people is lessons learned and distillation from talking to so many students as you've done. Mm-hmm. So first up, marketing, what moved the most copies and how did you launch so successfully? I remember just right out of the gates, it was like, man, the book's selling like crazy. You've got all these podcast interviews, like what sold the most copies?
Yeah. Well, there was the initial. So the initial pop was absolutely having a really strong launch team built and just very much followed exactly the stuff that you talk about and published, which was how to build it, how to manage it. And the thing that I did, maybe it was a slight tweak, is I just let people know from the beginning, is like, hey, there's 3 levels of engagement. You could just buy a copy. That would be a huge help. If you just buy a 99-cent copy, like that, early sales are lifeblood on Amazon. But if you're willing to write a review, that'd be incredible. That's social proof. And if you like the book, if you're willing to promote it, that'd be even better. But any of those are, and so I gave people different levels of engagement. What's funny about that is I think most people, when they hear that, assume that most people would opt to be the first level where they'll just say, oh, I'll buy a book. I found that by putting out on my own social media, there's 3 different ways you can help. Just type in the chat, or not in the chat, in the comment section, if you're a 1, a 2, or 3. I expected almost everyone to say 3 and a few 1s. The exact opposite happened is the vast majority of people said, I'll be a 1. I'd love to write a review, promote it. I'd love to go the whole 9 yards for you. And what I found is that when you give people the option to do less and they voluntarily opt to do more, you don't have to chase them so much because they made the commitment. They decided to do it. Like they raised their hand and did it. And so I didn't have to chase people as much for reviews. I didn't have to chase people as much to promote the book. And so the initial pop was my launch team, as well as book promotion sites. Like I really leaned into book promotion sites a ton. And so that had a huge impact for that first, I'd say 2 weeks to 3 weeks. And then from there, it was a lot from social media. I had a pretty intentional social media plan I built out. So just how many times per week was I going to post? What was I going to post? And then there was that virality of people that had agreed to promote the book, assuming they liked it, that were like, man, it's a great book. And just people sharing it. So a lot of those organic sales happening from social media. Mm. And then I would say the third wave was PR. So podcasts, radio hits, TV, is using that early success from the book launch to line up those speaking engagements that gave kind of that third wave. And then just kind of a low level of sales from things like Amazon ads, just those types of digital marketing. Yeah. That provides a nice little layer. That's not where the majority of sales came from, but it provided a good base where just like every day you woke up new and you're gonna sell a few copies, like just from that digital marketing piece.
Yeah. I love that. So we kind of got four keys there. And you moved a bunch of copies within the first few months, right? It started moving.
Yeah, I did about 1,000 copies, like just over 1,000 in the first month. And and then it was up to 2,000 by three or four. It was cool. pretty That's quick.
Awesome. So, that's amazing. And guys, this is a genius iteration that Aaron made on our launch team concept, which chapter 15 and published the new version is all about launch teams. If you want to learn more about exactly what he just talked about, it's page 115. It's something that we've adapted into our curriculum, but that I learned from Aaron, is letting people opt in for their specific level of involvement. So you can find that on page 115. Let's talk podcast interviews. So if I'm remembering correctly, within the first 3 weeks of launch, you had all kinds of podcast interviews and what we would call author appearances. So anywhere where you're getting in front of people speaking about your book. So author appearance, be it radio, be it Christian, I think you were on iHeartRadio, Christian TV, speaking at your church, like all these different things. How did you get book those first author appearances, and especially so quickly after launch?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing I would encourage any author to do is do your research ahead of time, because once your book launch happens, you're going to be pulled in a million different directions. There's so many different things that you want to do, and that's not the time to then research, okay, who do I reach out to at this radio station? Okay, what podcast would be good to appear on? Because you just won't do it. All of a sudden you'll look up 6 months later and be like, ah, dang it. I really should have done outreach while my book was hot. And so I knew that in that first 3 week window was when my book would be the hottest it would ever be. Cause I felt like I had a good strategy lined up for the launch. And so I wanted to make sure that the moment that bestseller banner appeared, as soon as I had a number one orange banner on Amazon, I wanted to be able to press send on 50 emails. And so I did a lot of research in the months leading up to the launch, where I just took some time, just a couple hours here, a couple hours there, to build out a spreadsheet of podcasts I thought would be cool to be on, the name of the producer, the email address, same thing with radio stations. And I'd already drafted emails, so they were all just sitting there ready. So then during my launch week, I didn't have to think about that. It was just wait for the bestseller banner. And then the moment the bestseller banner appeared, I did two things. I started writing Amazon ads, because I knew they would convert better if I had a banner, because social proof. So I started those immediately once I had the bestseller banner. And then I pressed send on a whole bunch of emails to podcasts, radio stations, TV. And it's a numbers game. A bunch of people will either say no or not get back to you. But if you send out enough of them, then you'll definitely have folks that are excited to have an author on.
And so you did the research ahead of time. I think that's super smart. You waited for the social proof so that you could feature that as part of the outreaches, and then did a bunch of outreaches, follow-up, numbers game. Don't be afraid of no. A lot of the things that we teach. Anything else that you use to get, and I want to say especially your first one or two wins, because I think it's easy for people to, it's like you can't even think about 10 podcast interviews without getting the first one. And then especially like these are big ones. I mean, Christian TV, iHeartRadio. So any tips on getting your first author appearance win, especially for faith-based authors, and then how you kind of use the rungs of the ladder to get the big ones?
Absolutely. Well, I think that the best way to get that easy win to build confidence is just asking your own personal network of who do you know that has a podcast that I should be on? Because nowadays, so many people have podcasts, and a lot of them might not have a huge audience, but simply getting on that podcast, getting a couple of reps in, getting your butterflies out, but then also having a name of a podcast you could reference in the other email outreach, because that podcast has no clue how big other podcasts are. They're not going to go and look up the name you drop in an email. And so if you have two or three other podcasts, now that gives you a little bit, again, social proof that you can reference in your emails. But the thing I would encourage all authors to do is use those names once you have a couple of easy wins. So ask your network, who do you know? They can make some direct introductions for you. And then start to include those in your emails. And then if I could just give one piece of advice from just a, frankly, an email copywriting perspective, is most people write too long of emails. And then they never get read. And so if you're writing an email to a podcast host or the booking producer or radio, you want to keep this thing at like 5-6 sentences max. And you don't want any of your paragraphs more than 2 sentences long. Like you want 1 to 2 sentence paragraphs. And so all I did was a little bit about their show. Hey, I would love, you know, I've loved your show because whatever reason, I recently launched a book that's currently number one in Christian leadership and psychology and Christianity. And then I just included a little hook. I think we could have an awesome conversation about the role politics currently plays in the American church, whatever your hook is about your book. And then I wanted to give a little bit of scarcity and a little bit of that social proof others. Like I was recently on this podcast and things have been a little bit crazy around the launch, but I'm sure we could find 5 minutes to compare calendars to get a time in the books. And so it was much more of like, I'm busy too, just like you are.
Nice.
And I was just looking forward to connecting with you. That was it. That was the full email. And so it was short and sweet. Great. No one's intimidated by it. They pull it up and they're like, oh, great. I can read that in 30 seconds. And so make sure you're keeping it short because long emails don't get read.
Yeah. Oh man, Aaron just laid out a script you can use to reach out for author appearances. It's really good, really, really good. I think one thing you also did well is you made it timely and there was a why now. We talk about, is it new? Is it relevant? Is it, all those things like coming up on the election, it is very timely. It is very relevant. And so the thing that I would challenge people to think about is how can you connect the book that you're writing to something that's happening right now and gives this why now and why this relevant to the larger conversation that's happening on these TV shows, on these radio shows, on these podcasts. And it becomes a no-brainer for the host. So we're going to shift gears a little bit of a lightning round. So Aaron, you've talked with over 500 people at the start of their journey. Gosh, hundreds of lives have been changed in terms of people who signed up for self-publishing school to help with their books. And students just absolutely love you. And for how helpful you are on these initial calls, but then also just how supportive you are and how much you set them up for success with their books. And so I want to talk about these lessons or takeaways. And then guys, you have an opportunity to book a call with Aaron at the end of this. But I want to talk through some of these takeaways because I think this is really valuable for people listening who are at that point of you've just had so many data points and conversations to see patterns. So from those conversations, I guess maybe first question, what have you seen as kind of like the biggest challenge that most people face at the start of their journey and especially the challenges that keep them from getting started with their book?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing I hear from aspiring authors is literally the exact same challenge I went through for 20 years before I very deeply empathize with it before I ever wrote my book, which is this illusion there's always going to be a better time. It's the single biggest thing. Like most authors actually have a pretty decent idea of what they want to write. Most of them actually have a pretty deep why that they want to write their book. Like they are convicted, they're passionate about it. And they've just been lying to themselves that one day the stars are going to align, the clouds are going to part. I'm going to have nothing but time and financial resources. And I'm just going to like, and this is going to be the time. And that's what I did for 20 years. There's always going to be a better time where I'm going to be more time is free, more money is free, more everything is free. And ultimately that time never really comes. So you have to embrace, is this book important enough to write? And if the answer is yes, then you just have to dive in and do it and make the commitment to do it. Because the thing that holds most authors back is they just never fully put it to the top of their priority list for a few month stretch. So they might work on it in the back burner. They write when they write, but they don't have any high degree of intentionality towards I'm getting this book done this year, period. It is a rock. And so I'd say that's the biggest thing. If someone's listening to this and they're thinking about writing a book, or maybe they've started, but haven't fully committed, is just making that commitment to yourself that I'm doing this, like no matter what, this year and whatever that takes. And I'm going to get the support I need. I'm going to get the help I need from family, from friends, from a mentor, from a coach, you know, but I'm going to do this year, like period. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing.
Cool. That's great. And it's probably going to be, it might be in a similar vein of what you just mentioned, but what's the common trait that you've seen from these hundreds of conversations of successful authors? So the people who actually implement, who get their book done, they do it at a high level. What is there one or two things that you've noticed that's the common trait of those most successful authors?
Yeah. I would say that there's a couple things. One, they really do know who their audience is. And so they're not just trying to write a generic book. They really know what is the purpose of my book. Because we all have a lot of knowledge we could share, but it's more of what do I want? Who is this book going to serve? And what is the action I want to see, or the change, the life change I want to see in a person's life at the end of this book? So I think the most successful authors really know what they're writing and who they're writing to. And I would say the second thing is that the students that do the best here in SPS are simply the most coachable. And what I have found in my time managing sales teams, coaching basketball, and then coaching students here at SPS and other capacities, is most of us are selectively coachable. So we treat coaching kind of like a buffet line. We're like, yep, I'll take that. That sounds good. I'll take that. I don't like sweet potatoes. I'm going to pass that by. I don't, you know, and which I don't know how you like, don't like sweet potatoes, but the best students are the ones that say, tell me what to do. You've done it. You've been there and I'll just do it. And it's not going to be a la carte. Just give me the full path. Like, I want the full path. And I think that those are the students, not just at SPS, but I think in general in life, if you have someone that you're learning from and they've been there, they've done that, the more you have that humility to say, just show me the path and I'll walk down it. That those are the students that do the best.
That's so great. I love that analogy. I'm thinking, I'm like, man, we need to integrate that into the onboarding process for students. The buffet line analogy, selectively coachable. That's awesome. I know we're all guilty of that in certain areas of our lives. So last question on this is, knowing what you know now from all of these calls, what is your advice for aspiring authors at the start of their journey, or at the maybe even advice for people who are, that maybe they booked a call with you and they're watching this interview ahead of that call, or maybe they're thinking about booking a call with you. What's kind of your advice for those aspiring authors?
Yeah, I would say it's ultimately make a decision whether or not you're going to write this book. As simple as that sounds, don't let it be a, I might do it someday. It's okay if it's a no. I have something, Chandler, called my anti-bucket list, which is things that I'm committed to never doing in my life. And the number one item on that is running a marathon. I will never run a marathon. I am committed to not running a marathon. And the reason why I have an anti-bucket list is because every 2 years, I would say to myself, man, I should run a marathon. Because I'd hear one of my friends running a marathon. I'd be like, that sounds awesome. A challenge of self-discipline. That'd be so cool. I love the thought of being a marathon runner. And there was enough times in my life that I was like, I should do it. And I never took action. And I finally had a conversation with myself of, is this important enough in my life to actually devote the time to doing? Am I ever going to actually do this? And the answer was, you know, probably not. I don't think it's important enough for me to commit to it. And so I would encourage people to, if you're going to write your book, decide you're going to write your book this year, or decide you're not going to write your book. But I would just encourage people to stop telling themselves, I will write my book one day, because, you know, a day from now turns into a week, turns into a year, turns into 20 years. And then ultimately we've never written our book. So ultimately I would just encourage you, just decide what you're going to do it. If you're going to do it, do it. Prioritize it. If you're not going to do it, put it on the anti-bucket list and just stop talking about doing it.
Yes. That's great. And guys, if you're in that spot where you're saying, hey, I'm 100% committed to writing this book, or maybe I'm like 70% and I just need a little nudge. I'd encourage you, book a call with Aaron. So you can go to self-publishingschool.com/Aaron. That's AAron. So self-publishingschool.com/Aaron, book a call at that link. On that call, Aaron's going to talk to you about your goals for your book, your challenges with your book, your next steps, and how we might be able to help. Okay. So if you're someone that's serious about this book, You want to make progress, I'd encourage you to book a call. Any thoughts on that, Aaron, of just like, who is this for? And if someone's listening to this right now, like, hold up. Okay. This is really helpful. And I'm thinking you know, taking this leap. I've never even told someone about this book. I'm a little bit worried about the faith component with my book. Any thoughts about people who are thinking about booking a call with you to chat about their book?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would just say if you're at that spot where you're like, man, I really think I want to dive in, and kind of a challenge point, if you are 70, 80% there and you're like, I'm pretty sure I just need someone to tell me, I want to at least bounce my idea off someone. Like, does this idea have legs? Like, is there a market for this? Is there, you know, this would be a great time to book call. Or if you're even halfway into writing the book, or maybe you have a finished draft, but you have no idea of how you're going to go about marketing it, is like, if you're kind of at that spot of, I think I want to take the next step, whatever that next step is, depending on where you're at in the journey. And, you know, just like talk with a faith-based author about how that might look. Book a call. It'll be extremely laid back. This is not for anyone that's ever had a call with me. This will be much more of a strategic call where we talk about, you know, your book. And ultimately, if it results in we can serve you well and we work directly with you, that's awesome. If not, we'll point you in the direction of some really good free resources and give you a couple nuggets to take away either way.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. And guys, especially if you're writing a faith-based book, or if you just like a high, Aaron gets a chance to talk to a lot of our faith-based authors and a lot of our high-level authors that are joining our Author Advantage Accelerator program, or students who are a year in and saying, oh, cool, I've published the book. I want to build on this and I want to keep working with you guys as part of the Accelerator program. He gets to have a lot of those conversations. So if you're looking for just really good strategic wisdom, this call is going to be really helpful. All right. So a couple final things here, Aaron, this has been so helpful. Where can people go to get a copy of your book and, you know, support you with the book and that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just, the easiest place is Amazon, because Amazon.com, right? You've got The Politically Homeless Christian. It's very easy. It'll be the first book that comes up. So it is well optimized in terms of the search string on Amazon. So if you just type in The Politically Homeless Christian, it'll come up first. That's the best place to grab it. And if you did want to go to thepoliticallyhomelesschristian.com, that's the landing page where there's also a free journal that people can walk through as well as a PDF.
That's awesome. Check out the book, guys, The Politically Homeless Christian. And if you're interested in taking that next step with your book, go ahead and book a call at self-publishingschool.com/Aaron. Okay. Aaron, you're the man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this was fun.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right. Number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right. Reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.